We've barely opened up the subject of this sexual revolution that we are seeing unravel all around us. The LGBT movements, the sexual immorality in the mainstream media, radical feminism, social justice warriors fighting for things they don't fully understand themselves, and the education system of the West teaching children that it's okay to touch themselves, etc. All of these things come under the ongoing sexual revolution. Today, we're going to look at the history of the sexual revolution and its key protagonists. If we understand where this whole disastrous phenomenon began, we'll be one step closer to understanding how to address it. Assalamu alaikum, my name is Mudaffar Haider, and this is The Machinations. Sister Zainab Thani, schoolteacher and mother of three, is going to introduce some of these key protagonists to us today.
Thank you, brother. The first person is Margaret Sanger. Sanger was a communist-orientated feminist and protagonist of the eugenics movement, which sought to rid the world of weeds by advocating for racial hygiene. Part of the eugenics movement claimed that black people were the weeds of society and that weak people should be taken out. In 1921, Sanger set up the American Birth Control League, which openly promoted the use of eugenics. They advocated for birth control, sterilization, and abortion. In 1942, due to the Nazi regime giving ethnic cleansing a bad name, the American Birth Control League changed its name to the International Planned Parenthood Foundation, IPPF. It's the largest abortion organization in the world.
Well, I think the greatest sin in the world is bringing children into the world.
In her autobiography, Margaret Sanger wrote about a speech she gave in 1926 at a Ku Klux Klan rally in Silver Lake, New Jersey. The Planned Parenthood founder bragged about the fact that afterward, she was invited by 12 other Klan chapters to speak at their events.
At about the same time the American Birth Control League was changing its name to Planned Parenthood, a lot of books and reports began coming out that attempted to put a happy face on eugenics. And many of them were written by people that were associated with Planned Parenthood. The strategy here was obvious. Since the Nazis had turned eugenics into a four-letter word, the American eugenics movement decided it was time to lay low. So most of their writings during this time period downplayed the role of eugenics and couched their agenda in terms of helping the African American. Perhaps the best example of this is a 1,500-page book by eugenicist Gunnar Myrdal called An American Dilemma, The Negro Problem in Modern Democracy.
Commonly, it is considered a great misfortune for America that Negro slaves were ever imported. The presence of Negroes in America today is usually considered a plight of the nation. Chapter 7, page 167. All white Americans agree that if the Negro is to be eliminated, he must be eliminated slowly, so as not to hurt any living individual Negroes. Chapter 7, page 168.
Well, I think the greatest sin in the world is bringing children into the world that have disease from their parents, that have no chance in the world to be a human being, practically. Delinquents, prisoners, all sorts of things just marked when they're born. That, to me, is the greatest sin.
I admire Margaret Sanger enormously. Her courage, her tenacity, her vision.
want to thank all of you for the remarkable work that you're doing day in, day out in providing quality health care to women all across America.
The Communist Manifesto of 1948 states how communism aims to abolish eternal truths, including religion and morality. It also declares that communists can only achieve their ends by the enforced overthrow of all existing social conditions. Communism provides the spiritual seedbed in which the 20th century sexual revolutionaries take root.
A lot of young Muslims are inspired by communism. I know because I was myself, mostly because of the idea of economic equality. It's such a cool idea, it's so attractive. But the philosophy behind communism is essentially godless. It aims to break apart the inherent structure of societies. No more families, no more morality, no more religion. Just complete control. In a nutshell, that's what it's really all about. There's also Wilhelm Reich. Reich was a psychoanalyst who developed orgasm theory. This theory claimed that people needed 3 orgasms a week to be healthy. The means by which to achieve orgasm, Reich argued, did not matter. And for this essential matter, child rearing had to be destroyed. The aim of his teachings was sexualization of the masses, which was intended to destroy man's relationship with God, religious institutions, tradition, one's parents, as well as destroy the structural order of society. Reich is seen as one of the most important sexual revolutionaries, and he founded the sex poll movement, which was built on the premise that if you satisfy your sexual urges, you will create paradise on earth. Now, it's important at this point to mention that we're not trying to gross you out. It is absolutely vital that we understand where this new phenomenon is sprouting from, how they have managed to infiltrate into the mainstream media and into the education system of our children. If you remain unaware of these things, then you will be unarmed against the LGBT feminist communist agenda, i.e. the sexual revolution.
Thank you, brother. We also have Magnus Hirschfeld. Hirschfeld was a German Jew and physician. He was one of the initial activists to fight for the legitimization of homosexuality and is seen as a pioneer of sexology. He believed that the male-female binary gender system must be abolished to allow radical individualism to emerge. People, he believed, contained a combination of male and female traits. Hirschfeld has been extremely influential of the field of research and set up the Hirschfeld Eddy Foundation, which fights for the human rights of sexual minorities. Then there's Sigmund Freud. Oh,
please not Freud.
Sorry, brother, we don't agree with these views, but have to reveal the sources of information used by modern Western academics in order to arrive at conclusions. Freud is well known as being the father of modern psychology and originator of psychoanalysis. His controversial theories center around the repression of sexual desires. Which leads us on nicely to John Watson, Edward Bernay, Bernard Berelson. The behaviorist theories of Watson, Bernay, and Berelson have been influential in enabling the sexual revolution to implement its agenda. Behaviorist theories have largely provided the means through which the masses can be manipulated, particularly through the process of social engineering. Bernay is known widely for his use of propaganda in forming mass opinion, which is largely used today by spin doctors. Berelson learned that the masses could be manipulated through the use of media and television. The ultimate aim of secularization is to do away with any expression of moral absolutes or divine law and reduce such imperatives to matters of opinion. As Kuby states, once secularization has been achieved, whoever controls opinions controls the country, the media.
Another person is Alfred Kinsey. Kinsey is seen as the father of sexology and boasts the biggest porn collection in the world. He is noted for achieving a breakthrough in the sexualization of the Western world. He was deeply psychologically disturbed and a sadomasochist who performed deviated sex acts on himself and others in his attic. According to Dr. Kate's research, Kinsey's unethical, unscientific, and statistically falsifiable research involved abused children, pedophiles, and prisoners in order to get the results he wanted. Kinsey argued children were sexually active from infancy, could have orgasms, and should be encouraged to satisfy their sexual needs. Kinsey was highly influential, and his research, although now discredited, has influenced the legalization of abortion, no-fault divorce, extramarital sex, fornication, sodomy, homosexuality, prostitution, the effect of which includes the disintegration of family, absent fathers, the explosive spread of sexually transmitted diseases, and emotionally traumatized youth. He had powerful allies, including the Rockefeller Foundation for funding, Playboy's Hugh Hefner for media support through porn distribution, the American Law Institute for Changing Sex Offense Laws, SICUS, Sexuality Information and Education Council of the United States for pushing mandatory sex education in schools, and the IPPF, again, for legalizing and providing abortions. In 1951, doubts into the reliability of his data emerged, resulting in Rockefeller withdrawing the funding. However, this had no effect on the distribution of the Kinsey Report and the erosion of moral values that he had created. The New York Times played a big part in perpetuating his ideas. So this is the way that it works. Even when a researcher is discredited, the damage is done. They've had the effect on the media, on the education system, on the politicians, and on the NGOs. US conservative author Judith Reisman later brought his criminal activities and extreme sexual perversions to light. Despite this, Kinsey's philosophy underpins the global content of sex education in schools around the world today.
Shocking, absolutely shocking. And then there's John Money. Money was a psychiatrist at Johns Hopkins Hospital in Baltimore, and he played a key role in gender ideology and in promoting the free choice of one's gender. Money opened the first sex change clinic in the 1960s, known as the Gender Identity Clinic. He advocated group sex and bisexuality. He also promoted sexual games for children and classified extreme sexual perversions as paraphilias and merely differing preferences. Yes, these are the types of people that Western academics have based their thinking on. So it's no wonder that the Western and Eastern media education systems and general direction of societies have become so perverted.
Stay tuned for more, inshallah. A lot of people don't understand what radical feminism actually is.
And I'm raising my son as a feminist.
Don't like it. Film it, bro, film
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I'm filming it.
Who shouted, "God is woman," and had the slogan written on her chest.
If they knew, then a lot of sisters and brothers would never want to be attributed to it.
Judith Butler is a US philosopher and Jewish lesbian and is seen as the main proponent of gender mainstream.
That's biologically incorrect, sir.
How's about some patty pie?